Good to see you all. Happy to be back. If you still remember my face, it was my first time ever since I came to this church that I took 2 weeks off. And it was something that I needed and to take care of some of the family affairs and then quarantine myself just to make sure that I don't carry any virus. But it's so wonderful to be back and be able to worship with you. Even though you are at home, I'm still here in this beautiful sanctuary, surrounded by good and faithful folks in here. We have Emily, just came to serve as liturgist, and Judy, and we have Jim and Carolyn, who's going to sing special music for us. Thank you very much. And Bruce, good to see you, Bruce. And the technicians in the back today, Austin, is on camera, and Deb as well. So I send warm greetings to each and every one of you and pray that the worshiping together this morning would be a really uplifting experience for each and every one of us. Bob couldn't believe it. He made it to the last round of his favorite game show. One correct answer to the final question would give him a fortune, which would change his life forever. He was so thrilled, but at the same time, very apprehensive of his chance of losing it all by a wrong answer. So he had to focus really hard and think wisely. "Congratulations, Bob," said the MC. "Answer correctly, and you go home with $1 million. This is a two-part question on American history," he continued. "The second half of the question is always easier. Which part would you like first?" Bob figured he'd play safe. "I think I'll try the second part of the question first." The MC nodded approvingly, while the audience was silent with anticipation. "Okay, Bob, you choose the second part of the final question, and here it goes. In what year did it happen?" Can you guess in what year? Life is filled with many questions. Some questions are so critical and have to be answered correctly, for they decide which path we would walk. While some other questions are not so significant but useful if we have better choices. And also, there is such a thing as a needless question or thought for which we do not need to exert our energy, but we sometimes agonize over it and waste our time. I wonder if you have any experience like that. I just have. I'm about to share that with you. The long road trip that I took with Johnny 3 weeks ago was a perfect example for this. A job market this year has been really tough because of COVID-19. A dual degree with the summa cum laude did not give him much of an advantage to Johnny. He managed to receive 3 job offers, but in locations that did not appeal to him much. So he decided to settle with one in Liberty Lake, Washington. Never heard of the town, never been there. The pandemic put him to work from home, but his company soon asked him to move close. The company was planning to reopen, and I decided to help him move and settle, considering the current situation. It would be really tough if he would contract the virus in a place where he knows no one. After much thought and planning, we decided that driving up to Washington was the best and the safest option. So I did some prep works on his car, put new tires, balanced them, installed new brakes, and changed the engine oil. We started all in the morning. After about an hour drive on Interstate 15, I felt a little vibration coming from wheels when we reached about 70 miles. In my amateurish knowledge on cars, there should not be any issue after all the prep works done to brakes and wheels. I diagnosed that the vibration may be caused by wheel alignment. So I looked at the map and made phone calls to service centers in Boston area. They were either booked up for the day or I had to wait several hours to get the service. I was thinking driving several more hours would not hurt. There would be more service centers available in Las Vegas. About an hour before we arrived in Las Vegas, I started calling again, but with the same result. No service was available. Well, we made it to Las Vegas without breaking down. We could very well make it to Salt Lake. So we kept on going. I was feeling nervous about vibrations all along. We arrived in Salt Lake City about 4:30 in the afternoon and learned that the service centers were closing early because of the pandemic. Having wheel alignments was not a possibility anymore now, but maybe driving slow would help. The speed limit up north was about 70 miles per hour, and everyone was going like 80 miles or even faster. And, you know, when I came down to California, and I thought, like, Californians drove like crazy, but up there, they drive even faster than Californians. And driving slow was not an easy option in those areas. Gratefully, the car did not break down on the way, and we arrived safely in Liberty Lake the following day. I made a reservation for wheel alignment immediately, couldn't wait, and was expecting a big repair bill after having driven the car such a long distance under the condition. And guess what the repair center found out? There was nothing wrong with the alignment, but the wheel balance. I took care of the wheel balance before the trip. I paid for it, right? And never thought of it as a cause of the vibration. Think about one full day, like 24 hours straight, driving about 1,400 miles. So needlessly concerning that the wheel might fall off. I was continually worrying about something that was not actually the cause of the problem. I could have enjoyed the trip if I blocked the unnecessary worry and the restlessness to occupy my mind. Is there a way to block needless thoughts to enter our mind that we may enjoy our journey? The scripture says, yes, there is. The Apostle Paul advises us to wear the helmet of salvation to protect our mind. What is this helmet of salvation? The helmet of salvation is like a spiritual shield or a faith mechanism formed by salvation that protects believers' head, that is to say, believers' mind and thoughts. A believer's thoughts are fully occupied with knowledge and certainty of salvation, that he or she does not yield to doubts about God's unconditional love and his power. I mean, there would be various ways to interpret the helmet of salvation, but from this perspective, I would like to identify the helmet of salvation as the assurance of salvation. Let me explain some more of why I think so. The assurance of salvation works like a bulwark on our faith journey and blocks skeptical thoughts and doubts to enter our mind. When we are so certain that we are saved, we do not have to suffer from needless thoughts such as, does God really exist? Is God in my life? Has God really forgiven my sins? Am I really being saved? Does he care about what is going on in my life? Is this crisis going to pass? Am I being taken care of? If I had a confidence in my car, I would have enjoyed the trip instead of being fretful, which was based on wrong diagnosis of the problem. The wheel imbalance was not significant and could have been ignored. My worrying turned out to be so unnecessary because of the lack of confidence in the car. Likewise, assurance of salvation saves us from needless worries. The wheel issue is just a minor problem. But how about when we face some big troubles on the way? Could we still not worry? Let's look at the Word of God in Psalm 46 and see what it says about it. Psalm 46 describes life in an utmost condition. The earth gives way and mountains fall into the heart of the sea. I mean, what could be compared with that kind of condition? The nations uproar, kingdoms fall. We do not know exactly what these disasters imply, but the psalm probably describe the situation of Israel during the reign of King David. David engaged relentless wars with surrounding nations. The description was well suited not only with the condition of Israel, but also the world, which has seen countless devastations through wars, natural disasters, health crises, and more. In spite of the ill-fated situations, the psalmist made an unwavering confession, which is one of my favorite in Psalms. God is ever present in trouble. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Could we be still when the earth undergoes a total mayhem? Yes, we could. The refrain of the psalm explains it. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The world out there may experience apocalyptic events, but we could be still and dwell securely in the fortress of our God when we have the assurance of salvation. The question is, have we put on the helmet of salvation? Do we have the assurance of salvation that protects our mind from needless doubts and worries? Paul, in his letter to a young Timothy, said, "Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. To have the assurance of salvation is so very essential for the believers, for it decides quality of believers' life. We all are on our pilgrimage to travel to God's kingdom. We have heard the gospel and have responded to it. We all have repented our sins and accepted the free gift of salvation that Jesus offers. But the journey of individual believers could be filled either with joy or uncertainties and fear. Depend on the assurance of salvation. We all are believers, but not everyone enjoys the pilgrimage because of the absence of certainty on salvation. When in trouble, it is natural that so many unsettling thoughts cross our mind. But the Bible speaks so clearly that we do not have to suffer from troubles themselves and also troubling thoughts. Instead, we could be at peace and be completely still. The secret to this tranquility in the midst of trouble is the helmet of salvation, which shields our hearts and minds with the assurance of salvation that no doubt and uncertainty, unnecessary worries could enter. Let me share your feeding story. In May 1995, Randy Reid, a 34-year-old construction worker, was welding on top of a nearly completed water tower outside Chicago. According to writer Melissa Ramsdell, Reid unhooked his safety gear to reach for some pipes when a metal cage slipped and bumped the scaffolding on which he stood. The scaffolding tipped, and Reid lost his balance. He fell 110 feet, landing face down on a pile of dirt, just missing rock and construction debris. A fellow worker called 911. When paramedics arrived, they found Reid conscious, moving and complaining of a sore back. Apparently, the fall didn't cause Ray's his sense of humor, as paramedic carried him on a backboard to the ambulance. Ray had one request: "Don't drop me." Dr. Late said Ray came away from the accident with just a bruised lung. What a miracle. Sometimes we resemble that construction worker. God protects us from harm in a 110-foot fall, but we are still nervous about 3 feet height. The God who saved us from hell and death can protect us from the smaller dangers we face in life, like I experienced on the road trip. Having faith on car may not be wise, for it is prone to break. But having confidence in God, who is so faithful to us, is a desirable thing to do. Uncertainty always leads us into anxiety and fear. God does not want us to live in uncertainty, but certainty. In Romans 8, Paul said, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He has given up the biggest thing in the universe, his own son, to save us. Would he not take care of us for small matters? Of course he will. Wear the helmet of salvation. Be confident in what you believe. Have a full assurance of salvation. God is faithful. He will never let us down. He never did before. He will never will. He will never lose his grip on us. Amen.